fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And all week long, we've been talking about the universal call to holiness, universal call to mission, really been asking the question, what is God's grand plan for my life? What does he want to do in my life now? And the whole thesis of this week, as I've been talking, is to remind us that we know we each have lots of responsibilities each day. We have details, we have things we need to cover, things that people are relying on us, whether our husbands, wives, our children, our jobs, and we have to be clear on those daily responsibilities. We also might have in mind things that we think the Lord wants us to do, and each of us has to discern in some way, how is God working in my life today? What are the things in the areas of my life that the Holy Spirit wants to get at and help me with? In order to see clearly those detailed things that the Holy Spirit wants to help us with, we have to keep the big picture in mind of what he's doing, what he's done for us. The most important thing that we need to realize every day is not what we're supposed to do for God, but what God has done for us. God has made us a new creation. God has made his home in us. All week long, we've been talking about echoing the words of St. Paul, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that we've become a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. The Council Fathers repeated time and again this week that he's given us the Spirit to constitute us with his power, to give us his power so that we can live in his freedom, that we're able then to live a new way of life. He enables us to do that. And that is a life that's, as St. Paul would put it, to walk by the Spirit. What do I know the Spirit is attempting in me, is leading me to do? He's leading me to the universal call to holiness, we said, and the universal call to mission. Those are the two great orientations of the life of a disciple. And so to be able to know that in our mind and say, I know the Lord is shaping me and moving me toward really to put on his life. Jesus was about giving to the Father what belongs to the Father in obedience and trust and surrender. That's what he wants to work in us. We're not there yet, but each day he's working that out in us if we're attentive to it. We're attentive to the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying. Jesus is searching the earth for souls, for men and women to come to him. He's about saving people. And that's a desire he wants to put in your heart and mine. So as we go through life, we're living his life. It's no longer I who live, St. Paul said, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I'm now living is a life of trust. That's one way to understand faith. I see Christ's call. I hear his words and the words of the apostles, the foundation we're standing on, and I say yes to it. I assent to it. But then I trust the work of the Spirit in me that he's leading me to walk in Jesus' footsteps, to say yes to him. And he's working out in me this call to holiness and call to mission. So be attentive to it. Be attentive to it each day. And one of the things I ended with yesterday is one of the ways that Jesus orients us to make sure each day we're asking for the right things and we're looking at the right things. And the big picture is in the Lord's Prayer. It's in the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Having the Father first, desiring to hallow him, to set apart his name, to honor him with our lives. And Father, one, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means in my life, in my home, in my marriage, in the life of our family, our extended family, in our work, I pray that your kingdom power would be present through me and in me, Lord. I want to be subject to your Son, as it's described here by the apostles and the writing of the Council Fathers in the Second Vatican Council. And of course, in the Lord's Prayer, reminded, she said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't that interesting? Jesus designed the prayer that way. Father, forgive us as we forgive others. It's important. It's a conditional. If I'm not willing to forgive, am I going to be forgiven? This is the healing that flows through the Christian community, through marriages, families, extended families, the church itself, the need to forgive because we know we're fallen, broken sinners. We need to forgive. That's love. That's an expression of love. All of this is about what holiness is about, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I read recently a wonderful article by Cardinal Ratzinger from some years ago. It's really taken from a book called The Yes of Jesus Christ. He reminds us, he said, love needs truth. Love needs truth. What does he mean? Well, first he said, what is love? Love is to will the good of another. I desire your best good. That's what I want. And say, okay, what that presupposes is that there actually is a good, an objective good for your life. His point is to say, this affirmation, he puts it this way, presupposes that man and woman, that we're really good, that there's something good in us and we're called to goodness, truth, beauty, and goodness. And the goodness comes from what? The true goodness is present in a person. I'm not good just because I think I'm good. I'm not good just because you think I'm good. But there's something objectively good in me. Why? Because God made you, and all that God made is good. You're good because you're God's idea. Now, you're not good on your own resources. You're not good because you've perfected yourself. You're good because you're God's idea. You're born, you're made in the image and likeness of God. There's a ground to your being, is the way he describes it. You're being human. We don't make up our own goodness. There's an objective value in you by virtue of the fact that God has made his home in you. His Son has died for you. His Holy Spirit has been given to you if you've been baptized and called to him. But every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. The true goodness is present, which love affirms as a reality, the cardinal says, apart from my feelings, because God vouches for that goodness. Your goodness precedes my knowing it. It comes from God. You have dignity, you have value, you have purpose, because God has made you. And God has made you for a purpose. And so to love someone is to will that fulfillment of God's plan in that person's life. I want to will the good. And I want to will what's objectively good for you. Now, this is important. It's an important thing to keep in mind. He said he made us. He first willed us. And that alone is why we are good. It's an objective fact. Without this ground of being in God, love loses its justification and it becomes groundless. Let me read that again. Without this ground of being in God, that is, you're created by God, you're created for God, this is an objective fact of the great value you have as a created person in the image and likeness of God, and that value is confirmed in the coming of the Son of God who laid down his life for you. So true love recognizes that objective fact. So here again, the cardinal says, without this ground of being in God, love loses its justification and becomes groundless. What does he mean by that? Well, if there is no God, and all of this is just an accident, and it's random, meaningless matter in motion, then there is no objective essence of value. It's an accident. You're an accident. You have no purpose. You have no design. Ultimately, your life has no meaning. And so in that world, in that storyline, in that narrative, what goodness is then is just something we happen to make up. And this is what a lot of people in the world look at it today because of the dictatorship of relativism, you might say. So the cardinal says, real love is more than enchantment, but it goes to the truth of the person, the objective dignity of the person. If we're here at random, if there's no meaning in life, there's no fundamental truth. There's no fundamental dignity in the person other than if we decide. There's no ground to their being. John Paul II reminds us, St. Teresa Benedicta tied together for us very powerfully the concepts of love and truth. And he reminds us that love and truth have an intrinsic relationship. They need one another. She said that never accept anything as truth if it lacks love, and never accept anything as love if it lacks the truth. One without the other is a destructive lie. What is true love? The cardinal wanted to underline here in tying this to the question of forgiveness. He said, love is the readiness to understand but not to approve, not to declare innocuous, and without harm what is neither to be approved or in fact is truly harmful. So think about how the broader culture is approaching the question, for example, of tolerance, that everybody wants to love, right? Everybody wants love to win. And the way it's being defined today is love is never judgmental. Love is always tolerant. And if you love, you must affirm whatever people want to do with their lives, however they want to define their reality. This is why, as a Christian, you have to be in the world, but you can't be of the world on this one. You can't go the way of the world. We're being sold a lie right now about tolerance, about what tolerance is. We can't tolerate, we can't tolerate affirming something that's destructive to someone's being. And the reason it matters, we can see something in the spirit. We know each person was created by God and for God. Even if that person rejects that whole concept and says, no, there is no God, it's foolishness, it's crazy, I don't want any of that. I make up my own reality. Okay, you have the power to do that, but in reality, you don't have the right to do that before God. So if you're calling me to affirm things in your life, behaviors, identities, ways of life that are radically inconsistent for God's purpose in your life, I can't affirm that. Because if I'm going to love you, I have to will what's good for you. I cannot will what will be harmful for you. So there's a lot of silliness out there that people are calling love that's really quite harmful. He said, forgiveness has an inner way. It is healing. That is to say, it demands the return to the truth. Where do I find healing? If I'm a married man who's in an adulterous relationship and I'm as happy as can be and I'm hiding it from my wife and I'm thinking, oh man, life has never been better. I think I'm going to divorce my wife. I have a difficult relationship with her and I found the woman of my life. If a guy says that to you and he says, look, I feel reborn. It's so fantastic. I can't say yes to that. Even if he's asking me, look, I need your support in this. I say, I can't support you. Why? Because you're violating your own dignity. Because you're turning your heart against the command of the Lord. You're living in a way that's inconsistent with your purpose and how God made you. Look, brother, God made you, therefore you are good. I want to will what God wills for you. Anything else is to not love you. It's to pander to you is what it is. So Cardinal Ratzinger goes on and says very clearly that people are trying to shape a Jesus that's intolerant of sin even. He said, a Jesus who is in agreement with everybody and anybody, a Jesus without his holy wrath, without the toughness of the truth and of true love, is not the true Jesus of Scripture. And that Scripture shows us, but a miserable caricature. A presentation of the gospel in which the seriousness of God's wrath no longer exists has nothing to do with the biblical gospel. Forgiveness is exacting and it makes demands on each and every one of us. But that's because of our dignity. It's because of the goodness that God has put in us and what we're called to. And true love recognizes that and affirms that in the other. That's what it means to love. And that's what it means to forgive. And that's what it's the heart of the call to holiness. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.